It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
Start on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
His house, the three and the lead, you betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner,
P.J. Tucker.
Gordon by Goldridge.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
What is up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. You can go to builtbar.com and use promo code Locked On, and you'll get $10 off of your first order. Now, as always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, our show is also on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And by now, if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, do me a favor, hit that subscribe button, maybe drop us a review, leave us some stars, share the podcast on all your social media. I would sincerely appreciate it. For today's show, we're going to roll through Rockets memory lane and go through some of the Rockets worst villains, the worst villains in Rockets history. And who else to help me do this other than Sports Talk 790's very own Adam Clanton. What's up, Adam? How's it going today, man?
Doing fantastic under the circumstances. No, it's a difficult time for everybody, but can't really complain. Got a job talking about sports, and even though there's not a ton of sports to talk about right now, there's always something to talk about, right?
Right, absolutely. And I'm assuming little man is keeping you busy at home.
Oh my gosh. So I'm doing like a sleep study, right? And it's a take home one. So last night was the first night, and of course, right on cue, he's been sleeping pretty well through the night. And he knew last night was a night I needed to just sleep straight through, and he didn't want to do that. So, but you know, again, can't complain. The guy's cute, so he gets away with it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've kind of come to the terms with it that, you know, babies, little kids, like being cute is like a defense mechanism, right? Because otherwise, if they weren't, we'd want nothing else but to kill them. Like, just they drive you insane. But
yeah, they don't. I mean, that's the difference between them and adults. That's why you do end up wanting to try and kill adults
every so often.
Right. You know, figuratively speaking, of course. Kiddos, not so much. He gets away with it because of that little evil grin that he has.
Right. All right. Well, I'm glad to know everything's going well at home. And, you know, for today, what I really want to try and do, and I could think of nobody else better to do this with than AC, the man himself, was go through and kind of pick the worst villains in Rockets franchise history, the guys that stand out at the forefront of your mind when you think Houston Rockets and then you think the bitter rivalries over the years, the battles, the hard-fought playoff games. You know, I want to know the names that jump to the front of everybody's minds. And I have a bit of a list here. I'm sure you've got some guys that, you know, are popping up in your head right now. And I want to start with players first, because there's a handful of different categories, right? There's players, there's different organizations that jump out. And then there's guys that have never, you know, even stepped foot on a basketball court from a playing sense that also stand out as Rockets villains. So to you, who are some players that jump out immediately to you?
Well, I mean, and I think this would apply for every organization. Do you want to talk about present day, or do you want to go back a ways, and do you want to go somewhere in between? I think somebody like me, who's, you know, I'm 39, so I've been around a little bit longer, and so I immediately don't go to the, you know, Warriors of the world. I start with the Utah Jazz. Because when the Rockets, you know, won their two championships, they had to go through the Utah Jazz. And when the Jazz went to the finals, their only two appearances in franchise history, they had to knock off the Rockets to get there both times. So it's the top of the list for me has always been Stockton and Malone. It's kind of a cheat because it's two for one, but you don't get one without the other. And I got to tell you, just watching those last two episodes of The Last Dance, I really thoroughly enjoyed myself seeing them lose twice. That was that's petty as it gets, and I'm here for it.
You know, and you're right. So you've got a bit of a gap on me when it comes to age. And surprisingly, though, when I think Rockets villains, I also go to the Utah Jazz, but I go to a different version of the Utah Jazz. I go to those late 2000s Jazz teams that also eliminated the Rockets a couple times in the first round. The Deron Williams, Carlos Boozer, Mehmet Okur, Andre Kirilenko, who, as a sidebar, has one of the, as much as I hate him, has one of the best nicknames ever in NBA history, is AK-47.
Yeah, plus his wife gave him like a hall pass per year or something like that. But you can't – I mean, that list is obviously long and distinguished, if you will. But you can't not include Matt Harpering.
I was almost there. He was right there. And literally, as I'm looking at my list, I had those three and I have Harpering right there at number four. He stands out as just one of – I mean, was such a dirty player, man. Like,
he's a turd.
Dude, just – I cannot – there's one thing about, like, being a dirty – like, if – you know, because let's face it. Like, Chris Paul, at times, a little bit of a dirty player. Yeah, and you kind of root for that when a player like that is on your team. But, like, Matt Harpering – and there's another guy that I have on this list – just took it to another level, like, almost to the point of, like, injuring opposing players. Like, and that's something I can't get behind.
Yeah, I looked at Bruce Bowen a lot like that when he was a member of the Spurs. I mean, the guy – would step on a guy's heel and cause an injury. The guy kicked Wally Szczerbiak in the face one time. Those aren't basketball plays. And every time I see him in his stupid bow tie on ESPN, I'm like, you're not fooling anybody. You're not a nice guy. You tried to injure players on the floor, and you were winning championships in the process. So, no, I don't like you.
And so I did have Bowen on the list, and you're right. So, I mean, as we're kind of moving through this, there's one that actually precedes both of us. And it's Kermit Washington.
Yeah, so Kermit Washington is almost in his own category because of what happened with Rudy Tomjanovich. And for those who don't know, it was in the late 70s, I believe 79, at the Forum in Los Angeles. There's a skirmish at midcourt, and Rudy, who went on to obviously coach the Rockets to back-to-back championships. He's about to go into the Hall of Fame. We had him on the show with us on Tuesday, if you want to check that out on the podcast, sports790.com. He's a guy that is basically just running to his teammates' aid. And not even that. He was just trying to get to the situation. And because he was running full speed and because Kermit Washington just turned and threw a blind punch as hard as he could, the combination of those two forces of inertia, if you will, I guess, you had Rudy fighting for his life in the hospital and tasting his own spinal fluid. And there were books written about it. The Punch by John Feinstein, if you've never read it, is a spectacular examination of not only that night, but how both of those guys, Rudy Tomjanovich and Kermit Washington's lives, were affected by that one moment in their careers and really redefined how people thought of them, which, you know, Rudy was a multi-time all-star and was already going to have a Hall of Fame career before he ever coached. And Kermit was a good player in his own right. And Kermit ended up being literally like blackballed from the league. Rudy ended up being known for that as opposed to all of the good things he had accomplished. And it was kind of a sad story for a long time, but it does have a happy ending without spoiling the ending of that book.
And that's definitely something I need to check out. I didn't even know that that book existed. So can you drop that name for us one more time, Adam?
Yeah, John Feinstein, who is he's written books about everything. He's very, very well respected as far as being a member of sports media. He wrote a book called The Punch, and I believe that came out I want to say in either the late 90s or early 2000s is when that came out. And I remember when it came out because he did a lot of, you know, media press talking about it. And he did a lot of interviews with Jim Rome and actually would substitute host for Jim Rome a lot of times. I don't know if he still does that. This is when Rome was in his heyday. But, yeah, it's called The Punch by John Feinstein.
All right. And, we kind of threw him away there at the start, you know, talking about just different eras, different generations of Rockets villains. And we do have to get to the current generation of Rockets villains, but we'll get there in just one second after a quick word from our friends over at Built Bars. Maybe you're trying to lose some weight. Maybe you're just trying to maintain the weight you're at. Look, these Built Bars are perfect for whatever you're trying to accomplish. You know, ever since I got turned on these Built Bars, I've been basically eating like one a day. And it's great because there's, you know, there's so many days where I maybe don't get to sit down and eat my three square meals. And so as a guy, you know, it's great to be able to sit down and, or I take it back, to not have to sit down and to just be able to grab a protein bar or even two protein bars on the way out the door and know that I'm not going to be missing out on, you know, this big chunk of protein from my diet. You know, if I'm running late to work or just, you know, running behind as I'm getting ready to go tackle my errands for the day or whatever, I can grab a couple protein bars. I can grab my favorite, my double chocolate mousse Built Bar right out of the box and just head out the door and just munch on it in the car. And it's delicious. It's like eating a little dessert. I mean, the bars are 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft. They're easy to chew. They're not chalky. They're not gritty. They're not like other protein bars. It's a protein bar that actually tastes like a candy bar. They have 16 amazing flavors. There's 8 chocolate and nut combo flavors. There's 8 chocolate and nut-free flavors. The flavor profiles, I mean, like their peanut butter brownie, for example, 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugars, 3 grams of net carbs. It's low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. And you can try it too. You just go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your first order. So use promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Adam Clanton of Sports Talk 790s, the A-Team, and one half of the Rockets Radio Network crew. So, Adam, I teased at the end of the last segment, you know, there's the current day, the modern day Warriors, the Golden State Warriors. And that's the team that I feel like a lot of Rockets fans, especially younger ones. I don't want to necessarily say myself included, because I am a younger fan, but I do, my memory does stretch further back than say the 2010 era Houston Rockets, and moving forward from that, obviously. And so in that group, right, you've got, obviously, who's the easiest one to dislike of that group?
Well, Draymond Green's at the top of the list. He's not the most talented player on that team, but he's easily the least likable. And then, you know, as far as the superstars go, you know, take your pick if it's going to be Steph Curry or Klay Thompson. I might be in the minority here because I've always loved Kevin Durant right up until he made that decision in July of 2016 to go to the Warriors. I was a fan of his, and now I'm a fan of his again because he's left. But everything about that organization, it just screams arrogance. And you know, it's bizarre to me because it's like their media want to take credit for those championships too. I've always thought that was an odd dynamic from the Bay Area media, the Tim Kawakamis of the world, the Ethan Sherwood Strausses of the world. Not a fan of it. And of course, John Middlecoff, my adversary on Twitter, he loves me. He has a lot of love for AC. but the list goes on and on. I mean, people forget that before Kevin Durant got there, they were winning championships and getting to the finals at the expense of the Rockets with players who are just eminently unlikable, like the Andrew Bogutz of the world. How many illegal screens did he set to get one of those shrimps in the backcourt free to hit those shots against the Rockets? You know,
dude, Zaza Pachulia is on that list too.
Yeah, Zaza Pachulia, Spurs fans unite with Rockets fans and they can't stand that guy. He started the beginning of the end of the Spurs dynasty by injuring Kawhi Leonard after the Spurs had beaten the Rockets. So, I mean, that list is very long. And Steve Kerr on the sidelines, with the comments, the snarky remarks, the just plain arrogance. And don't even get me started on some of his political thoughts. I'm going to leave that alone. That guy, though, I mean, it from top to bottom, just not a lot to like about the Golden State Warriors organization as far as present-day villains go.
And you'll find no argument from me here. I mean, there's a lot of pain and suffering that we've been through with the Warriors, and it just sucks because every year they've managed to just eke out and come out on top. And it would have been so great to have just one of those seasons be like, "Yep, Rockets eliminated the Warriors." But nope, it's every year. I'm sure you've seen them, the crop together Twitter images of Daryl Morey congratulating the Warriors every season, and that just it feels so bad to look at.
Well, I mean, that shows you right there, though, like Daryl Morey is actually being
a
bigger man, being a class act, and their jerk-off fans decide to – but, you know, I can't even get too mad because I would be insufferable if they even had beaten the Warriors once. And in 2018, I mean, you would have had to put me down like a rabid dog to get rid of me on social media if that had gone through, because I love now in hindsight, you know, if the Rockets had gotten through. Some people with a straight face are saying, well, they wouldn't have beaten the Cavs. Are you kidding me? It's just – it's laughable how people are so short-sighted and don't remember certain things. And that Warriors fans don't give enough credit for being pushed that far, their team being pushed that far by the Rockets. No one else not – you know, no other roster that didn't include – LeBron James was even giving them a remote threat at any time during their run, except for the Houston Rockets. So there's a lot of bitterness that's wrapped up in that, sports bitterness, if you will. Like you said, a lot of times these things tend to even out. You mentioned the Jazz. I mean, the Rockets and Jazz in the 80s, the Jazz were getting the better of the Rockets, and Mark Eaton would give Olajuwon trouble. Then the early 90s, the Rockets got the better of them. Then the late 90s, it was the Jazz. And then the Jazz again in the late 2000s. And then the Rockets of recently have taken out Donovan Mitchell and company 2 years in a row. So this type of stuff tends to even out, kind of like referees' bad calls. But with the Warriors, you never got that balance. And it always seemed like everything would go the Warriors' way. That's why I shed zero tears when every single member of that roster seemingly was going down with a catastrophic injury. I was like, welp.
Yeah, things did even out a little bit. Unfortunately, it just didn't even out against the Rockets. That would have been, right. That would have been kind of nice. Coming up, we've got one more true blue villain to get to. And then we've got some honorable mentions that I think are going to be pretty interesting. So we'll get to that in just 1 second after a quick word from our friends over at Blinkist. Let me tell you guys about one of the most useful apps on my phone. So, you know, I've told you guys about Blinkist before, and it's true. You know, sometimes it's really hard to find the time to, you know, sit down and really dive into a book and really, you know, find the time to read these days. And when you don't have that time, you can't really work on your own like personal development, but Blinkist can help with that. Blinkist takes the best key takeaways, the need-to-know information from thousands of nonfiction books, and actually condenses them down. It's just this little bite-sized 15 minutes that you can listen to. And it's great if you're, you know, on the way to work, you know, running errands, whatever. You can listen to it in the car. You can listen to it while working out, whatever. And with Blinkist, you get unlimited access to listen to this massive library of condensed nonfiction books, all the books that you want to read that you just never had the time to read, all for one low price. Right now, for a limited time, Blinkist has a special offer just for our audience. You can go to Blinkist.com/MBA and try it free for 7 days and save 25% off your new subscription. That's Blinkist, spelled BLINKIST, Blinkist.com/MBA to start your free 7-day trial. And you'll also save 25% off, but only when you sign up at Blinkist.com/MBA. And we are back at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, chatting with Sports Talk 790's Adam Clanton as we go through the worst villains in Rockets history. Now, a few more of these names that I've got for us, and these guys are some honorable mentions. Well, I'll tell you what, there's a few honorable mentions. There's one more true blue villain that we didn't get to that I have on my list, and it's Chandler Parsons.
Yeah, so Chandler Parsons is a villain in the sense that he left the Rockets the way he did to go to not only an interconference rival, interdivision rival, but an interstate rival in, you know, the cesspool of Texas that is Dallas.
South Oklahoma, not
Texas. Yeah, exactly.
Texas.
I apologize. I misspoke. But a guy that did it the way he did in the club with the slime ball picture with his agent and Mark Cuban. And then, I mean, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. After he does that, he, you know, bleeps all over the city saying that Houston's dirty. He's just saying really like petty stuff in the media so that it's out in public. And then the guy gets a max deal essentially. and his best days still to this day were in a Rockets uniform. I love that. That's justice when it comes to karma and that kind of stuff, because he got hurt almost immediately in Dallas, needed microfracture surgery, and he's been stealing money from the likes of the Grizzlies and the Hawks ever since. And like I said, it couldn't happen to a better guy.
And so for these honorable mention guys, so the first guy at the top of the list as far as honorable mentions go, and rest in peace, it's got to be Kobe Bryant for me. And this is more of a villain, not in the like crappy person sense, but just he took it to the Rockets every single time that they played against each other. And so when you talk about villain, like I'm just saying, like just the true blue, not to be cliche about, but really the Mamba mentality, just the drive that he played with, that's like it's a different type of villain, but I still feel that's why I put him in the honorable mention category.
Yeah, absolutely. When the Rockets, you know, they went through their lull right around the same time that the Lakers were three-peating at the turn of the century. And so I remember they would come to town and it was always a battle. You know, Steve Francis and company would always take it to the Lakers and would win every now and again, even though they weren't going to go to the postseason a lot of those years. And then finally in 2003, in 2002, I should say, you get Yao Ming and you're back in the postseason. I believe in 04 was when you returned. And that was the game where, you know, Lakers had the ring chasers and Gary Payton and Karl Malone on the squad. And Karl Malone, you know, tears Boki Nakbar's jersey, or was it the other way around? I can't remember now. But Kobe was always there in the middle of that. Kobe was always there. Kobe was there for the three-peat. Kobe was there, you know, when Shaq left. Kobe was there at the end of the decade when they were winning titles again with Pau Gasol, who was supposed to come to the Rockets, but David Stern nixed that Chris Paul involved deal because of quote unquote basketball reasons. So Kobe was always there benefiting. And yeah, I was talking to the guys on the show about this. I was talking to my wife about this. I was talking to a couple of buddies of mine that I'm on a group text thread with that I grew up with that I've known my whole life. One of them, my cousin, obviously, but then a couple other guys that are just basketball junkies like me. And I remember saying to all of these parties, I missed Kobe more than I thought I was going to, or I guess I didn't know I would miss him as much as I do. And a part of that is because he was that villain, he was that rival. But I think what it was for me is how much – and I was almost disappointed in myself that I didn't know better beforehand. I guess I just didn't realize, or I chose to look the other way, or didn't allow myself to know about all of the things that he did away from the floor to make people's lives better. That guy had a really dark, low moment in his life in the middle of the Lakers winning those championships, by the way. And, you know, had a moment where you knew that he was going to be an all-time great. So the talent was going to be there, but his life could have gone one of two directions. And he really did take the right path, it looked like, and by all accounts, by the time he was, you know, taken from us way too soon, just all you had to do was look at the outpouring of love at his memorial service that was televised. And these weren't basketball stories. These were life stories. These were, you know, just things that were being said about him that made you know he was truly at least trying to be a good man that had nothing to do with basketball. And so that softened the blow a little bit of him being that villain. But I also realized that I didn't have nearly as much sports hate for him as I thought I did once I found out some of that stuff. And you realized how we were robbed of what could have been. That guy should have lived a much longer life and affected so many more lives and continued to affect the ones that he was affecting for the greater good. And unfortunately, you know, he was taken along with his daughter and others in a tragic accident. But for sure, during those days, that's a long-winded way of saying, during those playing days, that guy was a thorn in the Rockets' side. Even when that 22-game winning streak season, when the Rockets pushed the Lakers to seven games, they just didn't quite have enough due to injuries. You know, Kobe was right there in the middle of that too.
And, you know, to kind of pull again from The Last Dance, right, he was a guy who his legacy transcended basketball, just like Michael did. You know, you get to a certain point as a player where you're just this larger than life, you know, entity, this person. And, you know, it's a shame that we're not going to get to see how that, you know, would have progressed further down the line for Kobe. But to get past the somber moment of the podcast, I've got two more, and I know you're going to love the last one. I don't know how you're going to feel about this first one, but Jason Terry, and I think he's an honorable mention, and I think he may have redeemed himself because of the 3-1 comeback. What do you feel about that?
So a conversation I had with Jason Terry one time, and ironically, it was preceding that very series you just talked about, the Clippers series in 2015. They're in Dallas. They've already won games 1 and 2 here in Houston. It's first round matchup with the Mavericks. You know, Dirk is winding down his career. The Mavericks just don't have the firepower that they had, 10 years prior, for example. And Jason Terry, Rocket Killer, since his days as an Atlanta Hawk, I might add, is a member of the Rockets. And another one of those guys where I look at Daryl Morey and I'm like, I can't believe you signed this guy. This guy is, you know, Rockets fans loathe this guy. And that's been the case over the years. Ron Artest was another one of those guys. But Jason Terry comes to town and he's the Jet, you know, and Rockets fans always hated that because Kenny Smith was the original Jet. And Jason Terry just tortured the Rockets from his days with the Hawks and the Mavericks especially. And they've won games 1 and 2. They've come to Dallas and they've killed the Mavericks in game 3. They're up 3-0. And we're in the locker room because we had traveled up there for that series. So it's me, it's Michael Connor, and it's Chris Gordy are in the Rockets visitors locker room there at American Airlines Arena in Dallas. Or American Airlines Center. I can never remember which one it is. One's in Miami and one's in Dallas. Anyway, I'm talking to Jason Terry after the game. We're doing the formal media scrum or whatever. And then the mics are all turned off. And I'm like, dude, I just got to tell you. Because he's like super down to earth. Gotten to know him over that season. And he's a really nice guy. I'm like, man, I hated your guts. I hated your guts. I said, it's all good. He's like, I had some of my best games against the Rockets. I loved playing against them because they brought out the best of me, that kind of thing. But he was all in on that squad. And then they lost game 4. They ended up winning in game 5. And they go play that series with the Clippers where they come back from the 3-1 deficit. And I know that, you know, that team, I think, did not fulfill its promise. Dwight and James didn't work out. That conference finals went very poorly for the Rockets because, you know, James Harden had the turnover game and everything else that went the Warriors' way like everything else did. But, man, you talk about a team that might not have been the most talented. You think that that's not the case because it's Dwight and James. But, I mean, the starting 4 on that team was Terrence Jones, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean – Corey Brewer was making significant contributions. Pablo Prigioni, 37, 38, 39-year-old Jason Terry. Donatus Motiejunas, I think, was hurt that year. So Patrick Beverley, I think, got hurt as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, Bev was out. So it was Prigioni and Terry were the two starting guards that playoff.
I mean, if that team is at full strength, that's another what if, kind of like that that 08 Rockets team that won the 22 in a row but then had to go to the playoffs basically without Tracy and Yao. It was such a fun team to cover, such a fun team to watch, and Jason Terry was one of those reasons, and obviously we ended up having a nice relationship after that.
And with that, I think that's going to do it for today's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed our part 1 of the Rockets Villains podcast. Be on the lookout for part 2 coming out soon. As always, thank you all so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.